Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook. Mr. Victor Gook is newly arrived home from the office, and he stands beside the library table intently perusing a letter. And his wife, who occupies the hither corner of the Davenport donning gentleman's socks, observes casually,
"Your friend Homer McDancy writes a lovely nice hand. Flourishes and gewgaws till who laid the chunk. I bet when he signs the signature, he trails the last few strokes into a bird flying. Kind of school teacher in Dixon that did that. Used a special pen and special ink. Some of the young fellas used to get him to write to their sweethearts in that elegant handwriting."
"Please sit."
"Oh, excuse me.
I want to concentrate on this."
"I rattle on like my undershirt. Go on and read your letter. I'll be quiet as a mouse."
"Homer Hugh McDancy pays me one of the most gratifying compliments I've ever received."
"Oh?"
"Quite. Almost brings a lump into my throat."
"Does he compliment you on the marching you did down at the CNA Depot 2 weeks ago?"
"Well, let me finish the letter and I'll tell you all about it."
"All right." "You don't say your eyes are a little blue forget-me-nots."
"What?"
"Oh, nothing. Go ahead."
"I'll be through in a minute and tell you all about it."
"Take your time."
"Oh, really, Homer, after all?"
"Oh, my." "Oh, yes.
I never thought of myself as a blushing schoolgirl susceptible to flattery, but Homer Hugh McDancy's compliments have just got me melting inside."
"Well, what's he say?"
"Well, he said, well, let me finish the letter."
"All right."
"Hey, Mom!"
"Russell, home."
"Hey, Mom, Bluetooth Johnson and Smelly Crack and Rooster Davis and Ned Fight want me to go down to the YMCA after supper tonight and watch the fat men play handball. I got an
outfit." "Oh, Sunday, what's this now?"
"Oh, it's Russell, goodness. Wait till you get within 2 or 3 miles of a person before you start shouting stuff. I can't tell what you're saying when you're on the other side of the city."
"I was just saying, Bluetooth..." "Oh, hello, Gus."
"He's reading the letter. Don't interfere with him."
"I was saying Bluetooth Johnson and Smelly Clark and Rooster Davis and Ed Fight want me to go down to the YMCA after supper." "Hey, what's the matter?"
"Your father's reading the letter."
"Who from?"
"His friend Homer Hugh McDancy there in East Brain, Oregon. Come this afternoon."
"Is it bad news?"
"No."
"Well, what are we whispering about then?" "Well, what I started to tell you, Mom, Bluetooth Johnson and Smelly Clark and Rooster Davis and Ed Fight want me to go down to the YMCA after
Davis.
Supper."
"Huh?" "David still got through with his letter. Just don't speak at all."
"Don't say that too thick, Homer."
"Well, that don't sound like bad news."
"I never said it was bad news."
Homer, if you mean just 50% of what you say, I'm gratified.
You finished your letter?
Yeah. Oh, hello, Rusty.
Hello, Bob.
How's everything with you?
Okay, I guess.
Fine. Uh-huh. Dave, I say again that I've been paid in this letter of Homer Hugh McDancy's one of the nicest... No, not one of the nicest, but the nicest compliment I've ever been paid in my life."
"Well, I want to hear about it."
"My Sunday school teacher, Miss Nagel, got paid a high-class compliment on her muscle. See, she can chin herself 23 times."
"You're going to spin a yarn about your Sunday school teacher, hmm?"
"Beg pardon?"
"You appreciate your father's about to tell something. He even had his mouth open to tell something. But you have to skate right into the conversation with a story about your Sunday school teacher. Watch yourself after this."
"Yeah. Go ahead, Vic."
"What does a poet keep saying in a sonnet about Stout Cortez?"
"He held a dandelion underneath the poet Browning's chin."
"Yeah, what?"
"Oh, well, you're always talking about the poet Keats holding a dandelion underneath the chin of the poet Browning to see if he liked butter."
"Oh, for Pete's sake."
"Oh, hey, what are we talking about here?"
I'll explain my reference to the poet Keats."
"Oh, yes, don't bother."
"In one of his sonnets, he sings of the explorer Cortez, who discovered the Pacific Ocean, and we get an idea of his great pride and happiness."
"Have you got great pride and happiness?"
"Well, I can't hardly say that. No, but I admit I'm tremendously set up over Homer Hugh McDancy's compliment."
"Well, what is this compliment? Goodness, here I am with my mouth hanging open. I'm so impatient to know."
"Homer Hugh McDancy, Sadie, writes to inquire if I'd be willing to entertain the 700 inmates of the Missouri State Home for the Tall by marching for them at their annual Christmas party, December 25th, 1944.
Missouri State Home for the Tall.
You've heard of the Missouri State Home for the Tall.
I have, Gov. It's in Sick River Junction."
"That's right, my boy.
I believe one of Uncle Fletcher's old cronies is an armed guard at the Missouri State Home for the Tall."
It seems to me I recall him mentioning some such thing, yes."
"March for the inmates, Vic?"
"What?"
"Homer Hugh McDancy asked you to march for the inmates."
"He does."
But I don't understand.
Well, here's the angle of it, kiddo. Homer U. McDancy is a great personal friend of the superintendent of the Missouri State Home for the Tall. In fact, I believe they were boyhood chums. It's been the superintendent's habit during recent years to solicit Homer's views and opinions on different matters. In this case, he wrote to Homer asking for suggestions as to what entertainment would be suitable for the next annual Christmas party for the inmates.
And Homer suggested you go there and march?
Yes.
You and the nine other fellas on the All-Star Marching Team march?
Yes, me, Mike.
Just you march?
A solo march, if there is such a term.
You'd march by yourself?
Well, that is a thought, yes. You see, kiddo, I've always taken pride in my marching. It's my hobby, and I cluck and gloat over it like a mother hen. Well, of course, I don't need to tell you that. But it hits a fellow where he lives when something dear to his heart is praised and applauded.
Huh?
And that's exactly what Homer U. McDuncan does in his letter. His friend, the superintendent of the Missouri State Home for the Tall, asked for some suggestions as to what would entertain the inmates of that institution at their annual Christmas party. Homer U. McDancy reflects a while, and then comes the conclusion that he could propose no more fitting or edifying a spectacle than that of his friend Victor R. Gook doing a solo march.
A solo march.
There'll be other talents at the party, of course. An orchestra, no doubt. Perhaps a magician. Violinist, possibly. Or a woodwind ensemble.
A flautist, maybe.
A what?
A flautist. A guy that plays on a flute.
You call him a flautist?
Well, that's what he is. It's a trick word. The boss of the American public thinks a flute player is a flutist, but he's really a flautist. It's in the dictionary.
Mm.
Will you just walk along?
Just walk along?
One fella marching that way, a fella marching by himself, wouldn't he just walk along?
Mm. I see, Sadie, that you fear I would be irritated if you should in any way imply that the idea of a man marching by himself is ridiculous and absurd.
Well, you generally are pretty sensitive and ticklish about that.
Yes, I suppose I am.
Mm.
No, Sade, I believe if I accepted this invitation and appeared before the inmates of the Missouri State Home for the Tall at their Christmas party, the matter would be handled something like this. The chairman or master of ceremonies or the announcer or whoever's in charge will get up and present to the audience Mr. Victor R. Gook, the famous parade authority. I will then bow, take several brisk turns around the stage to show how an expert marcher marches, and then pause at the speaker's platform and say a few words on the exception, history, theory, and development of marching.
Oh, I see. More of a speech.
It's my notion to be worked out something on that order. However, I would do a little actual solo marching. I might even march through the aisles among the inmates. Say, that'd be flashy.
They're not dangerous, are they?
Who are not dangerous?
The inmates.
Are tall people generally considered dangerous?
Oh, yes, I don't know.
I believe tall people are generally considered the gentlest and most docile people there are. It's the short people who are excitable and impulsive.
Oh.
Maybe you could get a job of performing before the inmates of the Missouri State Home for the Short.
You are humorous. Your humor is not funny, Lester. So, there you have it, kiddo. I will say it again, that Homer U. McDancy has paid me the finest compliment I've ever received in all my life.
Yes.
The finest compliment I've ever received in all my life.
You imagine you'll do it?
Do what, honey?
Go there and march?
Yes, I believe I will. I believe I will travel to the city of Six River Junction on December 25th, 1944, and with my marching, entertain the 700 inmates of the Missouri State Home for the Tall.